Well, again, happy Father's Day to one and all. In his foreword to Daniel Bush and Noel Dew's book, Embracing God as Father, Steve Brown looks back at his own childhood and says, "My father was a drunk. He was an executive, head of shipping at a large textile firm with plants in Tennessee, North Carolina, and Holland. He was also an amateur pool hustler who hustled the hustlers who came through our town. He would get a call from the pool hall that there was a new gun in town. My father would leave the office, go to the pool hall, and to the surprise of the hustler, leave the pool hall with considerably more cash than he had when he first came in. Your daddy, a man told me once, was the best pool player in Western North Carolina when he was sober. I asked the man who the second best pool player was. He laughed and said, your daddy, when he was drunk. You may be thinking, my growing up years must have been horrible, Brown says. Actually, you would be wrong. Do you know why? Because my father loved my brother and me with a passionate, unconditional, unrelenting, undeserved, and unreserved love. I wish I had the space to tell you stories, but whether it was in defending us against unjust charges, standing with us when we were guilty as charged, or showing our pictures to anybody who would look, his love and commitment to us was total. At his funeral, there was a long receiving line, and repeatedly, as people shook our hands, they said, do you boys know how much your father loved you? Years later, when I became a Christian, I was reading the Bible and came across a passage where Jesus said, which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I remember the incredible joy with which I received Jesus' words. I remember thinking that if my heavenly Father loved me 1/5 as much as my earthly Father, I was good to go. I never had to worry again about my being good enough to please him. He was already pleased because I was his son. I never had to worry about my guilt. He knew the bad things about me and loved me anyway. I could trust him with anything. His love would never allow him to be unmerciful, unkind, or angry because I defended him. In short, both my earthly father and my heavenly one would never say, I have had it with you. Seeing God as his father kept Steve Brown from a lot of worry, didn't it? He didn't have to worry about being good enough. He didn't have to worry about his guilt. He didn't have to worry that God would ever say, I've had it with you. And that's what God wants. Just as I, as a father, want my children to be worry-free, God, as our heavenly Father, wants his children to be worry-free as well. I think of Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, which say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Believer, God wants you to know his peace rather than a life full of anxious care. Even in the midst of this worldwide pandemic, as we're still in a COVID hotspot here in Windsor, Essex, and yet our social bubbles are expanding to 10, and we're meeting again as a church, God wants you to know his peace rather than anxious care. How can I know his peace even in the midst of uncertainty, you ask? Well, like Steve Brown, you can know God's peace by seeing him as your heavenly Father. Jesus talks about this in our text for this morning. If you have your Bible with you, I would invite you to open it to Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 22 through to verse 34. That's Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34. It's also on the screen. Look at that. Hear now the word of the Lord. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." How does thinking of God as our Heavenly Father guard us against anxiety? It does so in two ways. First, it reminds us of his love and his care for us. And second, it lifts our eyes off of ourselves and our concerns onto him and his kingdom and his kingdom purposes, and therefore to the needs of others. First, thinking of God as my Heavenly Father will remind me of his love and care. Look again at verses 29 and 30, and then consider those verses against the backdrop of all that has come before. "And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them." Your Father knows that you need them. What's more, if he is committed to feeding the birds of the air and clothing the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more is he committed to meeting your needs that he knows all about? Edith Schaefer testifies to God's provision in her wonderful book about L'Abri, the Christian shelter that she and her husband Francis established in Switzerland. God had called the Schaefers to make a home in Europe for young people who needed to find Christ. Yet their visas were about to expire, and unless they found a permanent residence, they would be expelled from Switzerland. In desperation, Edith prayed out loud, "O Heavenly Father, if you want us to stay in Switzerland, if your word to me concerning L'Abri means our being in these mountains, then I know that you are able to find a house and lead me to it in the next half hour. Nothing is impossible to you, but you will have to do it." Suddenly, Edith Schaefer heard someone in the street calling her name. It was a real estate dealer who wanted to know if she had found anything yet. Soon, he was driving her to a mountain chalet that was unexpectedly available. Her prayers were answered. God had found the house. Yet there was a further difficulty. The chalet was for sale, but the Schaefers did not have any money to buy it, and they were nearly out of time. As Edith prayed that night, she had faith that God would still provide, but she also asked for a sign. Oh, please show us thy will about this house tomorrow, and if we are to buy it, send us $1,000 before 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. That will be your sign to us. The next morning, a letter came with the post by train. It was from a couple who had been praying for the Schaefers, but had never been able to support them financially because they had so little to give. However, the couple had come into some money unexpectedly, and this time they were sending a check in the amount of, yes, you guessed it, $1,000. Within a matter of days, the rest of the money had come in. None of it asked for. How about that? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. What's more, He's committed to meeting your needs. I love how practical Jesus gets here. Are you worried about what you're going to eat? As you hear about meat packaging plants that have had to close due to COVID-19, and as you see grocery prices rise as a result, are you worried about food? Maybe you've lost your job as a result of the 3-month shutdown that we have had to endure thus far, and money for groceries is hard to come by. Jesus says to you, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? How about this? Are you scared for your life? As you hear of refrigerator trucks filled with bodies in New York City, or see news footage of a convoy of military trucks transporting corpses in Italy, are you worried that this pandemic is going to be the death of you? If so, then consider Jesus' words in verse 25. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? God knows how long you need to live. He has already ordained the day of your death, even as he has ordained the day of your birth. And he loves you. You will not die 1 minute sooner than you are supposed to. What else are you worried about? In verse 26, Jesus says that if you can't add a single hour to your lifespan by worrying, why are you anxious about the rest? In other words, your worry doesn't actually accomplish anything. It just gives you an ulcer. Besides, your heavenly Father loves you, and he is committed to meeting your needs. Again, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, even if cash is tight, O you of little faith? The issue here is faith, not finances. Faith. Even if you are without work and have no money coming in, God can and will provide you with food, shelter, and clothing. With these things, Scripture tells us we can be content. God is your heavenly Father, and He loves you. And in case there is any remaining doubt of God's love in your mind, consider what we read in verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is the kingdom, you ask? To answer that question, let me read to you from a study done on the phrase, the kingdom of God, for the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. Few attributes apart from of God or of heaven are supplied to identify or describe the kingdom, but it is said to be unshakable in Hebrews 12:28, heavenly in 2 Timothy 4:18, and eternal in 2 Peter 1:11. It belongs to the poor in spirit in Matthew 5:3 and the persecuted in Matthew 5:10. Many synonyms help to bring out its richness. It is related to righteousness in Matthew 6:33, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit in Romans 14:17, the renewal of all things in Matthew 19:28, tribulation and patient endurance in Revelation 1:9, power in Mark 9:1 and 1 Corinthians 4:20. Glory in 1 Thessalonians 2:12 and Mark 10:37. Promise in James 2 verse 5, at least the alternative reading. Life in Matthew 18 verse 9. And knowledge in Luke 11 verse 52. The kingdom then is nothing less than the unshakable heavenly, eternal dominion, filled with righteousness, peace, joy, renewal, power, glory, promise, life, and knowledge. In short, the kingdom of God is heaven. And according to verse 32, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you this kingdom. Meaning, your future as a believer is secure. How's that for love? And that's the second way in which viewing God as our Heavenly Father can keep us from worry. Thinking of God as your Heavenly Father will lift your eyes off of yourself and your concerns, since your future is secure, and will enable you to focus instead on the needs of others. Consider the flow of thought from verse 29 through to the end of verse 34. And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's what Jesus is saying. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. Your Father knows what you need, and He will provide for you. Instead, seek His kingdom, your Father's kingdom. Desire heaven above all things in this world. And all those things that we tend to worry about in this world will be added to you. What's more, the kingdom will be given to you. It is the Father's good pleasure to give His children the kingdom of heaven. So with that bedrock firm beneath your feet, sell what you have and give to the poor. You have no need to worry that you will do without. Focus on the needs of others. For by so doing, you will provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and where no moth destroys. You can't take it with you unless what it is the salvation of lost souls. If you invest in the kingdom, you can take it with you. as you see those who have heard the gospel as a result of your proclamation and your giving, they're present with you. While we're on the subject of giving to those in need, let me tell you about the other side to the Edith Schaefer story, in which she trusted her Heavenly Father to provide what she needed to purchase the chalet for the work of LaBrie. The $1,000 check that she received from her friends came with this letter. 3 months ago, Art came home from work with an unexpected amount of money. We decided at first to buy a new car, then came to the conclusion that we didn't need a new car. Our next thought was to invest in buying a little house, which we would rent. We went to look at houses, and as we looked over a very likely small house, I suddenly saw signs of termites in the beams. "Look, Art," I said, "doesn't that remind you of the verse which says, 'Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal.' Art, would you be willing to take this money and invest it literally in heaven, rather than investing in another house for us here on earth for added income? Would you be willing to give it to the Lord's work somewhere?" He replied, "Yes, Helen, I would." Well, that was 3 months ago. And all during these 3 months, we have been asking God to show us what He would have us do with this money. Now, tonight, we have come to a definite decision. And both of us feel certain that we are meant to send you this money to buy a house somewhere that will always be open to young people. Again, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Therefore, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, that our treasures, and therefore our hearts, would be in heaven. So today, on Father's Day, as you honor your earthly dads and thank them for their passionate, unconditional, unrelenting, undeserved, and unreserved love, for how they defended you against unjust charges, or stood with you when you were guilty as charged, or would show your picture to anybody who would look, think too of your Heavenly Father and how He knows what you need, and how it is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then lay all of your worries down at His feet, because He too loves you with a passionate, unconditional, unrelenting, undeserved, and unreserved love. Only His love is perfect. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need, and He loves you, believer. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you.